Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we stop to intentionally reflect upon the readings that are appointed for this day. I pray that as you hear God's word, it would speak to your life, that God's word would come into you and help you to understand God's living word as it continually speaks to our daily life and our society as a whole. I pray that as you hear God's word, it would bear much fruit in your life and help you as you walk daily with Jesus. Now we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, you look with compassion on this troubled world. Feed us with your grace and grant us the treasure that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our first reading that's appointed for this day is from the prophet Amos, the 6th chapter. Amos announces, "Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory, and lounge on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and like David improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away." The word of the Lord. As I read this passage, what I heard in my ear was my preaching professor's voice, who challenged us and lifted up this notion. He would say, "Where is the good news in the text? Where is the good news that you hear?" And as I preach and as I come to the task of the proclamation of the word, I have that voice in my ear that says, "Where is that good news? Where is the gospel at?" And as I read this text, I struggle and I wrestle with that because I don't hear good news. Listen carefully again to the words of the prophet. He announces to the nation of Israel, he says to them, "Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and like David improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into the exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away." There isn't good news. There's the notion of woe. Amos, the shepherd who is in the northern kingdom, is seeing what's going on, and the nation of Israel is walking away from Israel, from God. They're no longer attentive to the covenant that God had made with them. The people are beginning to look out just for themselves, focusing upon cheating their neighbors out of what they're owed, beginning to pursue wrongful business practices, putting you know, things on scales to fix the scale so the weight isn't right, to cheat out of the transaction, to get the most that they can. And God raises up this shepherd. Not a person that's part of the sort of the what you would think of as a prophet, but raises him up to rally against the nation. I've heard people say, if you like the prophet Amos, you're probably not reading Amos properly, because Amos tends to bring bad news. He's saying to the nation, woe to you. How dare you go away from God? He goes, woe to those who feel at ease in Zion. Woe to those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. That he's saying that those who feel that they don't have to worry because they're the people of God. Strap in, because God may do something you don't expect. Don't take comfort just in your identity as the nation of Israel. He's saying, don't take comfort in your wealth and the fact that you may be doing okay. Because when he says, woe to those, think about the people he describes, those who lie on beds of ivory. Who has beds inlaid with ivory? The wealthy. Those who lounge on their couches. Those who have the time to rest and lounge around. When he talks about eating lamb from the flocks and calves from the stall, a lot of those people who were poor, a lot of the people of Israel had very, very little meat in their diet. Those who ate more of the meat were the wealthy, those who were much more well-to-do, right? Think about drinking wine from bowls, this sense of abundance, of exuberance, of kind of flaunting their wealth, seeing the luxury items and having it. And Amos says to them, woe is you. Be careful. And the reality is, you will be the first who will be taken away in exile. He's saying to the nation, take heed. You're not paying attention to the covenant that God had made with you. And there will be consequences. So what do we do with this text? Is it easy to see it just as a historical thing and go, here's what God said to the nation of Israel at that particular time? We can do that. But I don't think when we do that, we take seriously the notion of the power of the scriptures. We should be asking, what does this say to us? How do we interpret this passage for our day and time? What does it say to us and our world today? And I think it stands just as it did to the nation of Israel. As the prophet announced a warning, so it also says to us, take heed. Pay attention, because in some ways we may be just like the nation of Israel. We may think, oh, our country is blessed by God, and God would never do anything to America, right? We may be thinking that we can rest assured because we have luxury items and we can rest upon our wealth and take comfort in what we have. The prophet says to us, no. What we need to do is not worry about the wealth, but trust in God. And part of what Amos is proclaiming is he's calling upon the nation of Israel to acknowledge their sin. How they're not looking after those who don't have. Of using dishonest practices to get ahead. How is it in our society? We're more concerned about ourselves and not our neighbor. How is it that at times we're more concerned about making sure that I have power, the people that I represent continually have power and push others away or denigrate them? When people stand and go, no, it's going to be my way, or there'll be retribution. Amos says to us, woe is you. God calls us to remember his covenant. God made this covenant with the nation of Israel to say, I will be your God and you will be my people. Here is how I desire you to live and remain faithful. How is it that we can hear that? Where God says, I have created humanity in my own image. He has made a covenant with us in the rainbow to never destroy the earth again by water. He made a covenant through Jesus Christ to redeem us and call us back to himself. He says, I have created you. You are my people. I am your God. And how do we seek to live out that faithfully? Trusting not in wealth or possessions or in other things. Not trusting in our country and putting other things above God. But trusting that God is the one who is faithful. And to trust that God is the one and God only that we should worship. To trust in him and him alone. Amos called out the people of his day because they were moving away from God, trusting in their status as Israelites, trusting in their possessions and wealth, thinking nothing can happen to them. And Amos said, woe is you. You will be the first to go into exile. Well, we may not worry about exile, but part of it is how do we continually seek to do God's will? What does it mean for us as we think about the issues in our country? The inadequacy between those who have much and those who have little. The notion of immigration. How is it that we sense God is calling us to think about other people than ourselves and how we see them as children of God? People whom we may not understand. People whom we may struggle to go, I don't get this, right? Related to issues of sexuality. But still being able to see everyone as made in the image of God. And to help and continually proclaim what God has done. The prophet calls us back to faithfulness in God and not trust in anything else but God. In our world today, how do we live that out? How does this word continually speak to us anew so it may direct us and help us as we go forth being the people of God? Amen. Let us pray. Holy Comforter and source of justice, you call us from the lives of ease and complacency into lives shaped by compassion and mercy. Forgive us when we rest too comfortably while others are burdened. Shake us awake to see the suffering around us and to hear the cries of those who are overlooked. O Spirit of life, stir within us a hunger for righteousness and a longing for your justice. Clothe us not with robes of luxury, but with garments of humility and love. Lead us to share our time, our resources, and our very selves with those in need. Guide us, O Lord God, to love not for ourselves, but for the healing of the world. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.